Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
And this is worth it, because if you've noticed something this morning, if you've noticed that different kind of sound, it is because something is missing.
What was missing from today's program? What could you be referring to?
No more political ads.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
It's a political victory that our country has never seen before, nothing like this. I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
Yes, the former president of the United States about to become the next president of the United States. Donald Trump, known for speaking in hyperbolic terms, perhaps hit it on the head right there. Never seen anything like this. A political comeback for the ages, and it was Wisconsin in these early morning hours that tipped the electoral math in favor of former President Trump. Now, I guess we address him at some point here in the coming days as the president-elect.
Correct.
At 8:12 on Wisconsin's Morning News, still outstanding this morning. We know Republicans also took back the U.S. Senate. They've claimed at least 52 seats. There are a few remaining out there, and whether or not they will increase that margin, but the Republicans taking back the U.S. Senate, U.S. House remains in question at this hour this morning. Want to go to Washington. Stacey Lynn is a White House correspondent for CBS News. She joins us live from Washington this morning. Stacey, anybody up there at the White House this morning?
Well, interesting, as I was walking in from where I was parked in the garage, it was kind of very quiet here. Granted, the road in front of the White House right now is shut down because they're erecting the big stage and for all the festivities for January's inauguration. So right in front of the White House, not a lot of people. I did see some people kind of trying to take a peek in from Lafayette Square and some of the surrounding areas. But as far as inside the White House, fairly quiet so far. We haven't heard anything from Vice President Harris. Obviously, she was going to address Howard University at her party last night, however, decided to wait until today. So we're waiting on timing on that when she'll speak. And President Biden hasn't spoken or put out any statements yet either.
Typically, Stacey, how do transition plans work? When do they start, like, remeasuring the rooms and changing carpets and doing that type of thing?
That's a good question, but of course, former President Trump, now President-elect Trump, is a fast mover, and I assume that's going to be done fairly quickly. Inauguration comes up in January, and I think things are going to be moving and shaking fairly fast inside here. What that means as far as aesthetics or what that means as far as people coming in and out, I'm not exactly sure yet.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News White House correspondent, live with us from Washington this morning. Interesting to see what the final months of the Biden presidency will look like, what they look like for President Biden and for Vice President Harris, particularly as we talk about how things will change in attitude on the world stage for America, our view, or at least the president's view, of the war in Ukraine, of what's happening in the Middle East, our relationship with China. What do you think the rest of the Biden presidency looks like on those issues, Stacey?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, we have two wars still outstanding right now. The economy not so good, which is what kind of tipped Trump over the edge and to begin with. Most people focus more on the economy and immigration than on issues that Vice President Harris was pushing, more so the women's rights issues, the state of democracy as well. World leaders, obviously, today are, you know, congratulating Trump over the win here, and hopefully we can move away from this very divisive world that we live in right now, both domestically and internationally, when he comes into office again.
CBS News White House correspondent Stacey Lynn live with us from Washington this morning. Thanks so much, Stacey.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
To her point, though, we have yet to hear from the White House. We have yet to hear from the vice president's campaign as to when we might hear more from them.
I assume the White House is probably deferring to the VP on this, right? Letting her camp decide when she's going to speak or react to the news.
Sure. And the electoral math as it stands right now, former President Trump, now President-elect Trump at 277 votes, need 270 to win. He's also leading significantly in the popular vote. And it's been since more than 20 years, right? Since
probably W, maybe?
Yes, I think his second.
Yeah, 2004.
His re-election, right? So that's another significant margin of about 5 million votes or so that the former president leads the vice president. States still with still outstanding. State of Michigan, I don't know what we're waiting for on Michigan. We thought Michigan would go before Wisconsin in terms of races to call. Nevada, Arizona, we expected to take some time. Alaska still not reporting. And I believe Maine is still out there in terms of whether or not races have yet been called.
Couple of reactions. We have Wall Street and we have international. Here's some international reaction to the new election of President Trump.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, one of the first world leaders to congratulate Donald Trump on winning the U.S. presidential election, calling the former president's victory history's greatest comeback. He added that Trump's return to office offered a new beginning for America, a powerful recommitment to the great alliance between Israel and America.
That's ABC's Britt Collinette. She's in Tel Aviv. And then there's news about your money. What about Wall Street? Well, so far, so good for the futures.
The Dow now is set to open 1,200 points higher this morning. I've been speaking to a number of traders on Wall Street this morning, and what you're seeing reflected in stocks is relief that the election is over with a decisive, not a contested victory.
That's ABC's Rebecca Jarvis.
Yeah, so that's an interesting point she makes there as to whether or not Wall Street would favor one election over another. Let folks analyze that. But one thing Wall Street doesn't like is uncertainty. So for sure, if this were still hanging in the balance, Trump or Harris, right, you probably would see a different reaction because investors don't like uncertainty. They almost would take adversity over uncertainty because at least you know what you're getting. So if things were still hanging in the balance or it looked like there was trouble in this state or that state, might have affected the markets differently. Of course, analysts can also read into the economic policy of both the candidates in this case as well. 8:17 on Wisconsin's Morning News. 8:21 on Wisconsin's Morning News, sorting through more election results for you this morning as you're waking up to discover former President Trump will be the next president of the United States, 45 and 47. It was Wisconsin that put him over in the Electoral College count for projections at about 4:30 this morning.
Yes, that tipped it over because we had gotten that final bag of ballots counted from Milwaukee. So that's when we saw Senator Tammy Baldwin take the lead in her race against Eric Hovde, and that's when the call was made that Wisconsin was going to President Trump.
So Wisconsin is that outcome, right? How can a right. state that votes for former President Trump to send him back to the White House also vote for one of the more liberal members of the U.S. Senate in Tammy Baldwin and send her back to Washington? How can that be the same state? Granted, the margin's very close
right.
and very similar. I should check the margin of victory for Trump in Wisconsin. I'll get that number to you here in a few minutes. But also looking at, let me see, it's, 1,689,033 votes for former President Trump in Wisconsin and 1,657,714 votes for Vice President Kamala Harris
about
in Wisconsin.
30,000
votes. Right about where that margin has been over the last two election cycles, now a third where you're looking at tens of thousands inside or in the neighborhood of 20,000 to 30,000 votes with a turning point in our state.
In this case, it really doesn't matter. And what I mean by that is that it didn't hinge on just one state. Every swing state swung toward the former president. So it wasn't like Wisconsin change the tide or did anything like that. This was what the former president calls a powerful mandate election.
Things began to turn with North Carolina was making some of the folks on the Republican side a little bit nervous. They kind of had that in the win column. And when things were looking tenuous, I was hearing from some circles that that's not going to be a good sign for us. We don't need North Carolina, but sure would be nice to have. And if that falls, what else does that mean?
Yeah.
But you have North Carolina, you have Georgia, you have Pennsylvania, and then it's done. I mean, at that point in the evening, once Pennsylvania fell, the path for victory for Vice President Harris was really going to be difficult. She would have had to win, you know, a Wisconsin, a Michigan, other states as well. Nevada and Arizona still outstanding this morning. So that's how the nationwide math is breaking out. In terms of our congressional delegation, very little changing there. Six Republicans and two Democrats will serve as Wisconsin's congressional delegation. A couple of the races that we were watching there, certainly the one that was most closely contested was Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. That's freshman Congressman Derek Van Orden. Seat in the southwest part of the state, so La Crosse area. And Van Orden was new to the job, 2 years on it in this first term. Ron Kind was a Democrat there for the district for many years and decided not to run for re-election. So you had Van Orden elected. Republicans were able to flip that seat and hang on to it. 51-49 is the percentage margin there in Wisconsin's 3rd congressional. Political newcomer in the northeast part of the state, Wisconsin's 8th congressional district, Tony Weed. Remember when President Trump came, and this was before the primary, came to Green Bay on that snowy afternoon.
Yeah.
Number of Republicans were running for what was going to be an open seat, and he picked this guy, political newcomer, and said, this is the guy that I want you to go with. Weed wins the primary and then wins that seat, 57% of the vote there in northeast Wisconsin. Some of the others not even close. Gwen Moore, of course, from Milwaukee, widely expected to be reelected and boat raced her way to another term. Scott Fitzgerald getting 65% of the vote in his district, formerly held by Congressman Sensenbrenner. Glenn Grothman, 62%. Tom Tiffany in the northern part of the state at 63% of the vote. And Brian Stile going back for another term in Congress in southern Wisconsin, 1st congressional, getting 56% there. So no surprises there. I guess you could have made an argument to me that 3rd congressional could flip. Very close race. I wouldn't have been surprised if Rebecca Cook were able to pull that off.
That one ended up being, what, like 10 to 11,000 votes?
Yeah, just a matter of a few thousand, exactly. Yeah. 51-49 is the percentage margin. I can get that number for you in a moment. I guess I would not have been surprised either if the Democrats pulled off an upset in the 8th congressional, that northeast part of the state that I mentioned. They had a strong contender. It was a OBGYN who's going to run strongly for the Democrats on the abortion issue. It looked like she was gaining traction early, but ultimately did not get the job done for the Democrats in that part of the state.
And luckily, only an issue with retabulating machines and recounting 30,000 ballots in Milwaukee. Was there really a problem with any of the election situation on Tuesday, which is great, because if there had been uncertainty, had been concerns, and courts were getting involved in all of that, God knows how that would have gone, knowing that the election, from what we're hearing, aside from, again, having to recount some ballots in Milwaukee, went relatively smoothly here in the city.
Polls had to stay open in Whitewater till about 10:30. There was a hiccup there, and no one was claiming it was nefarious, but there was something that would basically blocked out voting for a while there. So there was some extension of the poll hours there in Whitewater for a period. And then, has Oak Creek reported yet? Is that the last... Last community in the state that has yet to, I don't know what caused that issue, but for a while we were hanging on in Milwaukee County waiting for those numbers out of Oak Creek, and I'm not positive whether or not those have been submitted as part of the statewide vote at this point. 8:27 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Municipal business will continue today.
And we have information to share, perhaps. So the Common Council generally in Milwaukee will hold its council hearings and meetings, its full council meetings, on Tuesdays at the start of the month. Well, because of the election pushed till today, you know what they could potentially address? You know what could happen? Oh, my gosh. Milwaukee flag? Could it be?
The smart money is on this not getting resolved today.
So
there's no way.
It's among the unfinished items on the agenda. It was an unfinished item last month on the agenda, and it got pushed till this month. We'll see.
Does it just stay there? Parliamentary procedure, point of order. Does it just stay as unfinished business if they don't readdress it?
You can't just keep it in unfinished items forever.
No,
you
got to clear it.
No, can't do that.
Are you sure?
You'd have things on there for years.
That's right. How much unfinished business is there?
On a more serious note, we imagine that there'll likely be something said or done or addressed over Alderman Jonathan Brostoff, who passed away earlier this week. He took his own life in Greenfield Park, and just a tragic, sad story that caught a lot of people off guard. And you would imagine, I didn't see anything on the agenda when I checked it about 2 hours ago, but you would imagine that they will address their fallen colleague as well.
I don't know that there has to be like an agenda item for that front end of the meeting. Very often you have, whether it's council members or county board supervisors or whatever, when they have special things they'd like to do, or you know, reading things that they've prepared, bringing in guests, announcing them and whatnot. You'll see that at the front end of the meeting. So you will literally have, though, an empty desk today in those common council chambers on the third floor of City Hall. And that will have to be addressed, you would think.
8:39. So how did he do it? How did President Trump win, not re-election, but win his way back into the White House? We'll get the answers from a strategist next. A42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. You generally hear him on the WTMJ Steve Scafidi Political Power Hour, especially on Fridays, but he's agreed to join us. GOP strategist Bill McCashin on WTMJ. Bill, I imagine you had a cigar or three to celebrate this victory last night?
Tonight. I was watching with great interest all the way through the president-elect's speech last night, and then scrolling through your website and others trying to get legislative updates. So the cigar will come tonight.
So how did he do it?
I think he focused on the issues that voters truly care about. And Eric, it's not a big surprise. If you look at any poll, whether it's Marquette or Emerson or New York Times, people said the economy was the number one issue. And Donald Trump had specific answers as to how he was going to turn this economy around. The second major issue was immigration, and he had specific answers on that. And those are the things that moved voters the most. I think Democrats went all in on abortion again. And I think that was a motivating factor for a certain percentage of voters, but not like it was in 2022. So I think the Harris campaign sort of missed it as it relates to the key issues that voters really care about.
Talking with Republican strategist Bill McCashin. You hear him often on the WTMJ Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi. We're stealing him a little bit early this morning for some analysis. Bill, Wisconsin did a very Wisconsin thing. Voted for former President Trump, now President-elect Trump, and then also sent back one of the more liberal members of the United States Senate as their representative in the U.S. Senate. I'm looking at some of the math here. If you have the margin of victory for Trump at about 31,000 votes, margin of victory for Baldwin at 27,000, that means it's about 50,000 people who split their ticket?
Yeah, probably so, Vince. If you go back and listen to the Political Power Hour on Friday, I said my big concern about that race was the third-party candidates. They're both right-leaning. Philip Anderson and Thomas Leaguer, the two of them combined for about 50,000 votes. And honestly, that's what prevented Eric Hovde from winning last night. I think Eric Hovde ran a phenomenal campaign. And if those two gentlemen aren't in the race, he wins last night, just like Bernie Moreno and Dave McCormick. And it looks like Rogers is going to win in Michigan. So I think the thing that prevented Eric from winning last night wasn't his campaign. I thought they were outstanding. I think it was those third-party candidates.
Yeah, doing the math on that, as more of the vote is in, Bill, it looks like a 70,000 vote. Well, Anderson and Lager both getting about 70,000 votes between the two of them, right? Well inside of what would have flipped this race one way or another.
Yeah, and if those are more likely Eric Hovde voters because they're both right-leaning. One's an American First candidate, the other's a Libertarian, which both of those would be considered right of center. All of those go to him. He actually outperforms Trump in the state of Wisconsin.
Bill McCashin joining us on Wisconsin's Morning News. When you look across the country in some of the results we've seen, anything raise your eyebrows, anything surprise you, or anything of note?
Well, the overall turnout appears to be down from 2020, whether it's 15 million or 20 million. So the good news is I think America stood up, Eric and Vince. I think they said enough's enough. Let's just have some common sense. Don't tell us what to think. Don't call us garbage. Don't call us Nazis. You know, treat us with respect. And Chuck Todd, believe it or not, I'm going to quote him. He said this morning on one of the programs that the coastal elite consultants for Harris totally whiffed on that. They missed the center of the country and what people really believe and think. And it was at their own expense.
We are learning this morning as well that the U.S. Senate will be in Republican hands. Republicans picking up a couple of seats there. The math right now is at 52 seats in Republican hands, and there's still some seats outstanding. The House is still up for grabs this morning. Republicans hope to retain the slim majority they had in that body.
Bill, what do you expect the president-elect, I guess we can call him now, although it's not official, but what do you expect the president-elect to do in a second term? Do we expect to see the same president? Do we expect him to be different this time around? Obviously, there are always policies, but the persona, the person that he is?
Yeah, I'll disclose to your listeners, and I've done this on the Political Power Hour, my youngest son worked for the Trump campaign, so he was there last night in West Palm Beach, and hopefully they'll get an opportunity to work in the White House. So I've had some connection to this all the way. I can tell you this. They are far more prepared than they were in 2016 when Trump won his first term. Like they have been working on the transition since immediately after the RNC in July. So they will be ready to go on day one with a full slate of appointments across the government. And I think they're going to probably go with two reconciliation bills. Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, sort of tipped his hand on this last night. I think Republicans will go with two reconciliation bills to try and enact as much policy as they can in 2025. So I think you're going to see, Eric and Vince, a very focused administration that wants to get results as soon as they possibly can.
Bill McCosian is with us. He's a Republican strategist. Bill, does the fact that President-elect Trump doesn't have to run for re-election again also change how he chooses to govern?
I think it does. And I think it changes the opposition too, Vince, because I don't know that they come at him as hard as they did in when he was the 45th president because he had an opportunity to run for re-election. I think they understand that this is it for him. It's one and done. So hopefully the government's able to come together and find some common ground on some things that benefit the regular American citizen.
Republican strategist Bill McCosian. You often hear him with Steve Scafidi on the Political Power Hour. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, fascinating analysis. You know, he talked about the independent candidates that may have swung the vote in Senator Baldwin's favor. There was a lot to be made about the Green Party candidate in Wisconsin, Jill Stein, underperformed where she has in the last couple of elections, or in the 2016 election cycle, where it's largely believed that had not so many Democrat votes had gone for Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, perhaps Hillary Clinton would have carried Wisconsin. She's only showing 12,000 votes, which is inside former President Trump's margin of victory in the state. Also, Robert Kennedy is the independent who suspended his campaign. He got more votes than she did. He was at 17,600 votes, widely believed that more Republicans would have gravitated toward the independent Kennedy than would Democrats.
It was also interesting what Bill said there, because we noticed this too. We would assume that political pundits were surprised a bit. I don't want to assume what other people are saying, but political pundits were a little bit surprised at the popular vote going toward President Trump, because I think many would have assumed that, yeah, there's clearly the possibility of him winning the presidency, but maybe not the popular vote. Here, no, won it easily. It looks like it'll ultimately be an easy popular vote win for President Trump. What's also interesting is what Bill said, not as many people voted as last time around. You would have thought that given all of the hype, all of the conversation, all of the quote-unquote concern, et cetera, that there would have been even more. We saw lines of people registering to vote, and here it'll be less than it was 4 years ago.
Do the math on Wisconsin in particular, but that's a great point, because all the polling places that we checked in with throughout southeast Wisconsin, I told you my wife worked the polls in our community. She said, I spent my entire night registering people to vote. She was into the evening registering people to vote. Some of them first-time voters, some of the people who have moved.
Yeah,
so
sure,
they were perhaps voters before, mm-hmm, or what have you. But either way, these are folks who hadn't voted wherever they were in the primary, even just a matter of weeks ago, registering people to vote. So, right, you would have thought that would turnout would have ballooned.
Right.
But not the case. 8:51 on Wisconsin's Morning News. WTMJ 5-day forecast sponsored by Dave Drakamp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. High 55 degrees today, mostly cloudy skies. Tonight's low down to 40. Sunshine returns for Thursday. Thursday's high 58 under mostly sunny skies. Pretty much the same deal for Friday. Looking ahead to the weekend here, increasing clouds and showers late on Saturday. Saturday's high 58. Some morning showers possible on Sunday. Talk to those guys over there. See if they can get that out of the weekend forecast. Sunday, at this point, morning showers and a breezy high of 63.
So we have yet to see Steve this morning. So we saw Scafidi overnight,
well, of course. Again.
Yeah, again. He was on the air till 5 a.m. and actually didn't look too bad. He looked okay. He looked like he was still holding his own as far as...
Didn't look too bad.
Yeah, usually if you're up all night, you know, you might notice it. So I'm curious to see how he looks when he rolls in. He's got a very special two-hour political power hour coming.
It's funny. Normally we're kind of rushed up until the end because we want to get out of the way so Steve gets his full hour, right, yeah. So we don't get to Steve late. I bet you he wouldn't mind if we went a little bit long today. And this is worth it because if you've noticed something this morning, if you've noticed that different kind of sound, it is because something is missing.
What was missing from today's program? What could you be referring to?
No more political ads.
Until next time.
Final political ad of the season ran at 6:58 p.m. on November 5th right here on WTMJ. So, I don't know. We'll find something else to fight about pretty soon. Get some more ads going. You'll hear various other things on WTMJ. We've got WTMJ Steve Scafidi and the Political Power 2 Hour coming up next. And had a preference.